I had one brilliant teacher, a history teacher, called Sidney Reed Brett. Everything was broken down into causes, events and results, really. And you'd have root causes and immediate causes. And you'd have immediate results and long-term results. And it meant you were forced to dismember and analyse the subjects rigorously. And he was terrific. He would say, you've given me the ingredients, but you haven't baked the cake. And you must, when you answer the question, you must bake the cake. And this became one of his sayings. But I think it was hugely valuable afterwards, because you have to ask the fundamental question, is this true? Is it worth describing? Is it the story worth telling?
What you shouldn't do is sit there wishing for a different life. Either do it or don't.
Is human. Well, one idea stands out for me: solidarity. It means support, active support, for for people whose situation we recognise. Maybe we share the same struggles, maybe we just hear of them. They could be in the next street or on the other side of the world.
I still feel genuinely inspired by, and I hope I don't sound patronising, but genuinely inspired by the company but of young people, for the simple reason that they just defy all the stereotypes. I've been told since I was a young man that teenagers are useless. They're not the way they used to be. They're spoiled. They have the attention span of goldfish. They don't read anymore. They've no idea about anything. And every time I've come into contact with young people, they've proved all those cliches wrong.
I was just a young girl, a girl with curly hair. Your mother called me family. I became quite close to her.
there's a time, really. If you get up in the morning and you're not in the obituary column, you're doing well. So one day at a time.
My resistance is getting weaker. I can't stand the pressure. I can't get any weaker. I've got to find some other treasure. I need nothing to be a man, because I was born a man. Sometimes it makes me sick. Sometimes I try to aid, but I just don't know the trick. I need nothing to be a man, because I was born a man.
Made films about some of the great examples of solidarity. 80 years ago, the fascist Franco invaded Spain to overthrow the democratically elected socialist government. Fascist Italy and Nazi Germany helped him. Britain, France, and the US stood aside, quietly helping Franco on his way. Well, in contrast, many thousands of ordinary people went to fight for democracy. They formed international brigades and came from across the world. There were trade unionists and socialists and writers like George Orwell and the poet John Cornford. Some lost their lives or were wounded. Others were insulted when they came home. Premature anti-fascists, they were called. Think about that. Premature anti-fascists. Unbelievable now, isn't it? Those volunteers were the flower of their generation. Solidarity was what drove them. All heroes.
And then, you know, you find out when the government gets irritated with you enough, they just kill you.
Then 50 years later, another generation of volunteers went to support another democratic socialist government. The country was Nicaragua, where the Sandinistas were building a new society from the ruins of an old dictatorship.
I've traveled around this country from shore. Shining shore, it really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer plowing his sodden load. I heard the auction hammer come and knocking down his home. But the bags are made of marble, with a guard on every door. And the bolts are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for.
They built schools, health centers, set up literacy programs, organized land cooperatives, and took some industries into public ownership. It was a great collective effort by the people, which was all too much for the USA.
I see. Seaman standing idly by the shore. I've heard the bosses say, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard on every door.
and the boats are stuffed with silver that the seamen sweated for. I see the weary miner scrubbing coal dust from his back. I've heard his children crying, got no coal to heat the shack. But the banks are made of marble, with a guard on every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the miners sweated for.
They feared what they was called the threat of a good example. So contra-terrorists, trained by the CIA, set about destroying what the Nicaraguans created.
I seen my brothers working throughout this mighty land. I prayed we'd get together and united make a stand. And we might own those banks of marble with a guard on every door. And we might share those vaults of silver that our brothers have sweated for. And we might own those banks of marble with a guard on every door. And we might share those vaults of silver that our brothers have sweated for.
Again, volunteers went from across the world to show their support, solidarity once more. They worked as teachers, medics, or they just helped out. A great friend of mine went as a lawyer to record the killings, destructions, and human rights abuses, all caused by the USA. Defenders of freedom. Well, I wonder.
Yeah. think about what adults do actually for entertainment, they do things like read books. What's a novel, really? It's a new world. It's a world that you're invited to immerse yourself into and see how it works. As you read it, you make guesses about what's going to happen. You check your guesses against what actually happens. It's a laboratory. It's a way of thinking about other ways the world could be. Now, isn't that, in a sense, just about the most important thing that humans could occupy themselves with? We're faced with a constantly developing, evolving, and very surprising world that keeps throwing novelty at us. So we need some skills in dealing with that. We need to be able to answer what-if questions with some kind of experience, with some expertise behind us. And I think this is why we love novels so much. We love novels because we love novelty. We want to know what will happen if such and such a thing is the case.
And they all lived happily ever after. I love the rhythm of that. It's a really nice way to finish a story. I don't think I ever believed it.
There are those who own the world around your own, and say you want to swan. There are those who rest and those who make the beds, and should you seek redress, can't you guess? Hey child, they own this mess. Dust memories fail to please. If you confuse this dinner dance with elegance, if you suffer lack of due respect, take comfort from the guessing game aspect that she is least where you expect.
How could you possibly live happily ever after? Because it, you know, the really point, you know, life is a bit pointless if it doesn't end at some stage. Happiness is meaningless if its opposite doesn't exist as well.
Please be ashamed that you're afraid, equating elegance and real estate. When all the bullion in the world cannot transform what's simply second rate. But will ye know, come assess me. Memories fail to please. They're not alike, this dinner dance, this elegance. And if you want to swan, one to one, kid, you don't need the pond. There is due for steep decline. If you can't find the spot where their time stops, just ask who built the clocks.
Well, no one welcomes conflict, of course, particularly wars. Terrible events. But when it happens, it can bring out the best in us, the worst of times and, strangely, just occasionally, the best of times. The generation that remembers the Second World War, I think, would agree. Now we see solidarity in the food banks, the women's refuges, the homeless shelters. We see solidarity in those who defend refugees, asylum seekers, and the disabled whose lives are circumscribed by so-called austerity cuts. Wherever there is injustice, oppression, or exploitation, there will be solidarity from those who stand with the victims.
Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money, I didn't care. Taking my friends out for a mighty good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. But then I began to fall so low, couldn't find no friends, had no place to go. If I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it till the eagle grins. Nobody wants you. When you're down and out, in your pockets not one penny, and your friends, you haven't got any. Just as soon as you get up on your feet again, here they all come, they say that they're your long lost friends. Oh, oh Lord, without a doubt, nobody wants you. Nobody needs you.
Solidarity may do charitable things, but it is not the same as charity. Charity can make us, can make intolerable become bearable and perpetuate it. Charity can normalize the unacceptable.
With no money to spend,
solidarity is concerned with redressing injustice and supporting those who need allies. What a contradiction it is that governments and states, which in an imagined and idealized world should represent the best of us, so often represent the worst. When governments betray our common humanity, exploit, invade, or oppress, solidarity is our answer.
Why is it that people don't give up? That's a real puzzle to me. I didn't...
Yeah, when somebody tells you you're not even fit for high school choir.
Yes, or they tell you your paintings are ugly, or this idea you have of doing this project or company or whatever, it's a stupid idea. And sometimes people persist, and sometimes they're right. It's really puzzling. What makes them persist? I don't remember thinking to myself, I'm right, they're wrong. I just thought, no, I love this. I'm going to keep doing it myself. I'll just do it in my bedroom or to a smaller group and do that. I didn't think, oh, that stupid choir leader, what does he know? I just thought, no, I'll do it myself. And I keep pursuing, because I enjoy it. So I kept going and started singing again.
And thinking, there was a point in my life where I realized somebody wrote that book. Maybe he or she wrote another one. And I went to the library and discovered that some of the writers had written almost hundreds of books, and others had only written one. There was a book I read when I was about, I'd say, a little bit younger than Jack, called Catch 22, by a writer called Joseph Heller. It was set during the Second World War. And at the time, I thought it was the best thing I'd ever read. So I thought to myself, I'll go and see now what his other books are like. But he hadn't written any. He did later on, but in 1974, when I went looking for other books by Joseph Heller, there weren't any more. And that really interested me. How come? How come one person could write hundreds or dozens of books and another only had written one? And it wasn't because he died. It was because he never got around to writing another one until years and years and years later. I think he had four or five written by the time he died.
Country, when I was in high school, that was the soundtrack to me getting my ass kicked by kids that wanted me to be more like them or something, or to be less of a weirdo. So I never was a fan of country.
I get by on the dreams I can see. I defy my bad luck with the will to believe. I just know that I'm destined to be something more. I was born with an ace up my sleeve. Take a drag off of my cigarette. I'm on the road to regret. Let me know when you're ready to leave. I have all that we need. There's an ace up my sleeve. Take my hand. There's an ace up my sleeve. All I know, I must stay until I go. Wish me well, I want the
if you get up in the morning and you're not in the obituary column, you're doing well. So one day at a time.
I've been known to look up at the sky. I feel lost in this world and I want to know why. I'll be fine, don't you worry about me. What's the use? I can't lose. There's an ace up my sleeve. I can't lose. There's an ace up my sleeve. Oh,
socialism began to start in Spain. That's why the British and French and Americans wanted to destroy it. Socialism began in Nicaragua. That's why it's destroyed by the States. Socialism began in Chile. That again was destroyed by Kissinger and the States. So once it starts to function really well, the West intervenes to destroy it. So that should tell us.
What you shouldn't do is sit there wishing for a different life. Either do it or don't.
We're talking about equality of opportunity. We're talking about common ownership. We're talking about production to benefit everyone. And actually, just at the moment, we might be talking about saving the planet. Because if you leave it to the big corporations, our great-grandchildren may not be here to live with any possibility of a sustainable planet.
tree that we'll be all right. Somehow, someday, we need just one big tree and we're on our way. We've been praying for it all day and fighting for it all night. Give us just one big tree and it will be all right.
Who would believe that we would tolerate food banks, that people wouldn't eat unless somebody else put a tin of beans in a charity collecting box at a supermarket? Who would you have believed 10, 15 years ago that we would tolerate that degree of hunger? I mean, it is absolutely disgusting beyond words that we live like that.